Amen. What a tremendous presence of the Lord we are experiencing tonight in the sanctuary, and I'm grateful. Sister Judy, it's the same presence of the Lord we felt this week at camp, and He's here. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and I just am grateful for what the Lord is doing tonight. Thank you for sending our young people to camp. Had a tremendous week. The Lord helped us in a mighty way. And I'm going to let them share that. But I wanted to start off just by saying special thanks to Brother Brad and Sister Tricia, Sister Susanna, for their help this week and just being a blessing to us. Sister Sarah and I, they helped us with the music and with driving the young people back and forth and just various other ways. And so we just wanted to extend that gratitude to them. We're so grateful. We're going to start tonight with Emma. She stood at the end. Praise the
Lord. I'm so thankful we got to go to camp this week, or last week. And the Lord really ministered in my life and the whole youth group's life. He was really there he was there, but he was a present help in my life, and I'm so thankful that we got to go to camp.
I'm thankful for the way the Lord moved in the altar services in my life and in the lives of my friends and youth group.
I'm thankful that I got to go this year, and I thank the Lord that He saved me.
I'm thankful I got to go to camp this year. The services were amazing, the preachers were great, and it was just a really good time, and I'm really thankful that we got to go.
I'm really glad I was able to go to camp this year. All the activities and the services were great, but on Thursday night, the youth choir was singing Ride on King Jesus. While we were singing, Brother Tim Lorito came up on the platform and said, the way to get up to that getting up morning is to keep getting up. The adversary of your soul says to just lay there, don't get back up. You're not going to make it. You're worthless. But God is telling you to get up. And if you keep getting up, you're going to make it to that getting up morning. The Spirit of God is able to help us get back up. This really ministered to me and a lot of others that were there. And I'm really glad I was able to go this year.
Well, I'm so thankful that I got to go to youth camp this year. I'm also very grateful for Brian and Sarah being there every year at youth camp and being in the altars with us. And I promised myself I wasn't going to cry. So, going to youth camp this year, my heart was just so heavy and weighted. And Tuesday night was praying with a bunch of the younger girls, trying to be there and be strong for them. And we got through praying, and I was just feeling so tired and so burdened. And just praying there and crying before the Lord. And I remember saying, Lord, I just feel so suffocated by all the weight and all the pressure. And I just felt in my heart that He said, you may feel suffocated, but I am the breath of life. Just lean on me. And I am so thankful for that.
I'm thankful I got to go to camp this year. It was really good. And God moved like really well in the altar services every night. And like when they were singing Ride on King Jesus, like when it was like saying like, no man cannot hinder me, like no man cannot hinder you from the Lord. You follow His path. And like, don't let men tell you what to do. Like, yeah.
Well, just like everybody else said, I'm thankful I got to go to camp. I feel like everybody says that, but it's true. All the services, like everybody else says, were good. Brother Brian did great. He did amazing. But the service that probably stuck out to me the most was Wednesday morning when Brother Brian preached, looking through the lens of eternity. And he talked about seeing people how Jesus does and reaching out to them. And I feel like that service, God just confirmed some things He had called me to do. So I'm very thankful for that.
I'm thankful I got to go to camp this year. The services were great. Brother Brian did a great, awesome job like he always does. But all the services, I just felt drained. And like I didn't feel like I was getting in like I wanted to. And then Wednesday night, I was just ready to give up. And like, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. You'll do whatever you want to do. And then I just started pressing in into the altars, and when I started pressing in, the Lord finally moved on me and moved in my life in a mighty way, and I'm thankful that He refilled me with the Holy Ghost again, and I'm glad that I was able to go.
being our last youth camp with you, I want to say thank you for all your years. I want to thank... as others have said, our hearts have been heavy. This week hurt. And Thursday night, like Ethan said, I was ready to give up. You just go through another week of camp, and seeing people like Logan get in as we were singing. I wanted some of that, and all of the services were great. Thank you.
Well, I kind of forgot I had to testify tonight because I had a birthday party and two nephews rolling to town Saturday, so I remembered about an hour and a half ago, so, and then several of them proceeded to steal my testimony that I came up with, so I'm thankful I got to go to camp. Thursday night was wonderful. I was thankful to see several people in our youth group get slain in the spirit, get filled, get refilled, and I'm just thankful I got to go to camp and be a part of that.
Well, I'm really thankful I got to go to camp this year, and one of the themes that I noticed throughout the week was getting to heaven. It kept kind of propping up in the services, and one of the points Brother Tim Webb made in one of his sermons was that there's nothing in this world that's worth missing heaven for, and it really encouraged me to do whatever I need to do to make it to heaven, and I'm just excited to go there and to see our Savior.
Well, I'm thankful we got to go to camp, and thanks for the church for sending us, and I'm thankful for what the Lord did in my life and the other lives of our youth group.
I'm thankful I got to go to camp, and I'm thankful for Brother Brian and Sister Sarah for taking us all these years. And I was thinking, the beginning of camp, you try to fit in with your friends, be cool. And then, but I was praying, and I felt like I needed to pray harder and stuff. And when you're trying to be cool with your friends, you might not raise your hand first, you might not get in. But I thought, what would be cooler is to go to heaven and not go to hell. So I'm thankful I got to go.
No doubt. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a great hand. Amen. You guys can be dismissed. Thank you. Appreciate those kind words, and I want to echo what they said. I want to echo what they said. It was a tremendous, tremendous week and outpour of the Spirit, and many of them, I won't share pictures. I don't want to embarrass them, keeping them for my own evidence log, but many of them just responding to the impetus of the Spirit. And you know, tonight, this service just solidified into my heart that we can have an active move of the Spirit of God at home. We can have an active move of His Spirit in our hearts on a daily basis. He is not confined to camp. He is not confined to a special service. But we serve a God that is able to revive us even in the middle of the mundane. Even in the middle of life, just being full of hustle and grind, He's able to come by and minister in just a mighty way. And so I'm so grateful for that, Brother Hurst.
We want you to, after the preaching, to take time to pray in the altars, but don't forget to tarry just after service for just a moment. I'm going to introduce Brother Brian tonight. And I've shared this before, but when Paul was recommending Timothy as a messenger to the church at Philippi, he said of Timothy, "You know the proof of him, how he has served with me in the gospel." And Paul being the older man and Timothy being the younger man, but you know the proof of him, how he has served with me in the gospel. And I think you have to read what Paul has said about his relationship with Timothy to begin to understand what a bond that is and what a unity. And I so appreciate Brother Brian. Since he began ministry, he has served with me here in the church in ministry. And I'm not detracting from him at all, but Sarah was a huge addition to his life and ministry.
Amen. Thank you, God.
And she, Brian has served with me, but she has served with Brian. So. Yeah. And I think he got the better end of that deal. But so appreciate their service. And again, you, unless you've been in leadership, you may not understand this, but one thing I never had to question or be concerned about, Sister Hurst as well, is their loyalty, fidelity, and the fulfillment of the vision. And we're just honored to hear from him again tonight. Really, we should have let Sister Sarah preach tonight, but... Yeah. We're going to let Brother Brian do it. Come ahead, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Thank you. No, sorry. That's youth camp talking right there. My bad. Praise the Lord. I just appreciate the kind words and have been honored to minister alongside Brother and Sister Hurst for these years. And somebody mentioned, our sister Sharon mentioned, Bible school came to us. We'll be selling Clifford A. Hurst University t-shirts in the lobby, established 1991. And if you want to pick one of those up, I say that in jest, but I do mean that with sincerity. I owe a great deal of the majority of who I am in the ministry to Brother and Sister Hurst. And so I'm grateful to have been able to serve alongside of them. And I want to say thank you to all of the parents who have trusted us for these 17 years. I owe you a great deal of gratitude as well. I'm old enough now to realize how dumb it was to let me be over your children at such a young age. I cringe at the thought of a 21-year-old driving the church van. It boggles my mind. I understand now why Brother Hurst, the first year I followed him to Granite City, I kept getting bored following him, and so I would pass him, and he would give me this look, and he would go like this, and I would slow down and get behind him, and then I'd get bored in a few minutes, Sister Hurst, and I'd go whipping around him again, and he told me when we got back to not do that anymore. And so I understand it now. I'm on the other side. I see through a different lens now, and I'm just grateful for the years of ministry to be able to work with our young people. And this week was a special week for us, and I witnessed things that Sarah and I have prayed for many years come to pass in this year of youth camps, not just this week, but Sunset Hill as well. And I am so grateful for that, that the Lord has allowed us to see things that our hearts have cried for. And I want to preach tonight a message to our young people, and also to our church. And I gleaned this while watching our young people worshiping the Lord around the altar. This is one of the first years, and it's different when you're one of the speakers, and I don't mean that braggingly. It's just you have a different responsibility. And so most years when I'm at camp, I'm in the trenches with our guys, and we're just praying, and I don't really notice anybody else. But this year, I didn't get to do that, and I was so grateful as I watched them unify together and begin to pray for one another and encouraging one another to press in and to go deeper. And they were altar workers together. And if you've ever been prayed for by Ethan Maggard, you will know what that term means, to have an altar worker with you. I'm fairly certain he's sponsored by a chiropractor somewhere. And so, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And so I stood back and was praying with others and praying with them when I could. But as I watched and witnessed what God was doing in their life, Brother Brad, the Lord began to just drop this message for this evening on my heart. And so I want to share that with you. The book of John, chapter number 13, and we're going to be reading verses 2 through 5, I believe I gave to Brother Durth. I'm actually going to add the first verse to that, but if you don't have that, Brother Durth, that's okay. I didn't send it over to you. Verses 1 through 5 and then 12 to 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, notice this, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, catch this, happy are you if you do them. If you know them, happy are you if you do them. I want to preach to us this evening on take the towel. Take the towel. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the word. I found great delight this morning as Pastor preached to us from the Last Supper and the Passover. And knowing what the Lord had put into my heart for this evening, I want to add an addendum of something that happened in the midst of that Passover. A great expression of love that the Lord gave to his disciples in the middle of what would be considered a very chaotic evening. They're seated at the table, and Judas has already determined in his heart that he will betray the Lord. And yet even in the midst of that, the Lord was still so kind and gracious, so loving and merciful that the disciples had no idea who it was that would betray him. For just a few moments later, the Lord will tell them, one of you will betray me. He was so careful and concerned that even in that moment of betrayal, he still expressed a great deal of love and compassion and mercy upon those who have walked with him for these 3.5 years, those that have been with him by his side. They have seen divine miracles. They have experienced the resurrection from the dead of those who had passed and now they're back to life. They have seen the blind get their sight. They have witnessed those that were paralyzed be able to walk and run and leap and jump. They have seen the deaf receive hearing and the mute begin to speak. They have witnessed and encountered the divine God walking with them in human flesh. And yet here they are, this last moment of intimacy together, that fellowship, that koinonia, that togetherness that they had craved with him. And he does something that they had not expected. When you're with Jesus, you better learn to expect the unexpected. I mean, he'll do some miraculous things that you and I thought it's not possible. I mean, the way he has saved us, changed us, put us on the road to heaven, Brother Hoffman, talk about an unexpected miracle. There have been people that God has miraculously changed that nobody expected. Nobody gave an extra thought that God could do a work of grace in their life, but he does the impossible, and he still works even tonight. But he did something that absolutely shocked them. In the midst of that communing and feast and togethering, he steps aside from the table, lays his robe aside, and takes upon himself the apparel of the servant, girds a towel about him, grabs a basin of water, and in the custom of that day, they would not have been necessarily seated in a chair at the table, but they would have been elongated and laid down on their sides and their feet behind them, because we know that the moment of that era, it was filthy outside and they didn't have a great public plumbing, and it was an agricultural society, and I'll let you fill in the gaps of the things that they had walked through and the things that they had journeyed through, and they've got sandals on, Brother Gary. I don't see any Jordans at the Last Supper, right? I don't see any shoes that are completely keeping at bay the germs. And so it was customary for them, as they came into the house, for a servant to wash their feet, for a servant to bow themselves down and to wipe the muck and the dirt and the filth off and to wash. But nobody did that. That custom was not fulfilled at that supper. And so Jesus steps away from his place of authority and he humbles himself. He establishes the example of what we are to do. Christ set the example. The Lord, the Master, the one who had done all the miracles, the one who was worthy of the whole entire earth, takes a towel and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. At first, it goes unnoticed in the midst of the conversing and the fellowshipping, but all of a sudden, people begin to notice, where is Jesus? And he's behind them, knelt, washing their feet. He showed a deference that many would not have even considered. He is the Lord, and yet he is the servant. This example, it shocks Peter to the point where he refuses. You know, quick speaking Peter. Oh, what a sanguine. Praise the Lord. Lord, you can't do that. Not me, Lord. And the Lord says, I have to do this. He said, well, then wash it all. I'll settle down, Peter. That's not the point I'm trying to make. It's an example of the expectation of how we are to look at others, and specifically how we are to look at one another. He humbled himself and he gives them this quote, is the servant greater than his Lord? Is the servant greater than his Lord? He said, I say to you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So if the Lord has given them an example, then it is imperative that you and I follow the example. He sent us. He saved us. He called us. He changed us. He redeemed us. He's the one that still helps us. He's the one that heals us. He's the one that comforts us. He's the one that keeps us. If he set the example and we are not greater than our Lord, then we are to follow the example. How shall they know that we are his disciples? He tells them later in this chapter. If we have love one to another. I was reminded this week of how grateful and how peaceful it is when young people get together in unity. It was so refreshing this week. It was refreshing. It was a joy to be around our group as they came together and supported one another and built one another up, prayed for one another. It was refreshing. You know what is one of the quickest ways to tear down anything God is wanting to do? You start tearing down one another. Start finding fault and picking at and well, that's not how I do it. And you know, this is the reason they're doing that. I mean, just real quick to bite at one another and accost one another. I mean, it is one of the quickest ways to tear down the work of God. But you want to know how you can have a barometer of whether or not God is moving in the midst and revival is happening? You have love one for another. I'm telling you, it is a refreshing from heaven when you begin to build up each other, and Christ set the example. Amen. I mean, Brother Jeremy, he could have looked at Judas and say, I know exactly what you're doing, Buster. Go ahead, you thief and robber. He already knew. But Brother Micah, even in the midst of betrayal, Christ was reaching out, and he washed Judas's feet too. There are moments when you and I are not required to be the judge, jury, and executioner. We are called upon to take the towel and begin to wash the feet of those who maybe even have betrayed us or betray the master. Why? Because the Lord did it. And you don't know what mercy extended can do for a life that is on the balance and trying to figure out where they're heading. The reality is that there will always be a need or a place to serve. There will always be a need and a place to serve. It has been one of the great confounding things, Pastor, in working with our youth, is when people come and say, there's nothing for me to do. I hear the voice of Sam Norvell in the back of my mind when he found me seated when I was working for him at an auction one day. We were actually setting up. It wasn't that the auction had started. We were just setting up. The tables had all been set up. All of the items had been placed where they were, and I thought we were done. And so I found myself a nice comfy chair, and I got on my phone, and when I heard him breathing behind me, I knew it was over. And Brother Norvell, towards the end of his life, he would take measured breaths when he was speaking. And he said, Brian, do not ever let me find you sitting again on the clock. I said, yes, sir. He said, there's always something to do. There's a broom in the corner. Pick up the broom and sweep the floor. I wasn't asked to do that. There's always something to do. Jesus had a prime opportunity for everyone to serve him. Sister Jennifer, he's about to lay down his life for the entire world. If there's ever been a moment when you are allowed to be pampered, you have that moment. And he did not take it. He saw there was a need that was unmet, and in a way of establishing love to his disciples, he took upon himself the form of a servant. There will always be a need. There will always be somebody that needs help. There will always be something that needs done. And if we are always waiting for somebody to put the title on us and then we'll get to work, we will be waiting forever. But hear me, young people, hear me. Adults, listen. If you see the need, feel the need. Don't wait for the title. Wait for God to move on your life because you're working. There will always be a need. And here's what I took from this. You have to be willing to get close to people. Jesus didn't shy away from people. I know not every personality is the same. I know there are people that could talk to a wall. I know that there are people that would rather work under this platform than ever be on top of it. Spiders and all. They'll take it. Hello, Fred. They don't care. They just don't want to hold a mic. I get it. That's still a need. Do it to the fullest of your ability. Because when we all work together, then the needs are met. When we all pull together, then God's kingdom thrives, because then we're not worried about how your opinion on how I'm doing my thing. You're worried about your opinion on how you're doing your thing. And is it being done with excellence? And is the need being met? And if you need help, then we can come help together. Here we are getting ready to go to Camp Dove, and I hear this every year. This commendation from people that come in and they say, your church works like a well-oiled machine. And you know what, Brother Kevin? You may not be preaching the night services, but you have a tremendous ministry at Camp Dove, because you are the one who provides the popsicle. You are the one who kids think about when they are no longer there and they're grown up and say, who was that guy? I've been asked that so many times, Brother Kevin. Who was that guy in the snack shack? That's Brother Kevin. I love that guy. Yeah, we all do. The TikToks flow because Brother Kevin has that window open, ready to go. It's a ministry. Look, anybody not like blood? Anybody have a blood aversion? You just see it and, ooh, I need to sit down. You know who doesn't have a blood aversion? Sister Tricia and Sister Beth. Thank God. Some kid gets his head split open by getting hit by a softball, and they're like, I think it'll be fine. And the parent is about to go nuclear, and it's okay. It's not as bad. A little water. Or, I think we better take him. It's a ministry. You think frying fries is not a ministry, Brother Brad? Let's stop frying them. Right, Brother Hoffman? I mean, you cancel the food real quick. See how this goes. Let's stop cleaning toilets, church. Y'all think janitorial services are like the low end of the spectrum? That's fine. Let's cancel that. No. See a need. Fill the need. Take the towel. Recognize that there's a burden and responsibility that goes far beyond who holds the microphone. We are the kingdom of God. And sometimes it's dirty. And sometimes it's not flattering. And sometimes it's feet. I don't understand it, but it's still got to be done. Look, anybody just be honest. Feet gross you out. Okay, we got, oh yeah, I thought so. Oh yeah. I really debated tonight, Brother Philip, about doing a foot washing. I debated hard. I think we just talk about it, all right? You have to be willing to get close to people. And sometimes serving gets uncomfortable. And sometimes serving gets dirty. Your hands get dirty. That is not a reason to shy away from service. Because we can put new carpet down. We can paint. Brother Michael, we can fix that blue bus 1,000 times as much as we can. Ministry's dirty. But living here by the church, I have been awakened to hear people beating on metal and come find Brother Dan and Brother Hoffman and Brother Tim and Brother Michael, keeping old blue ready to go. And there have been so many Sunday mornings. It's been cold out. It's been no heat in that bus. And I've heard it firing up and driving down Union Road and think, Lord, help him get some more. Ministry's dirty sometimes. There are moments when it just isn't easy and comfortable, but God is calling us to take that towel and do what he has done, because he gave us the example. He served. Amen. And he didn't hold back. The last thing I want to talk, especially to our young people, about, because the world is so opposite in this, I want you to hear this final point, and my points don't match tonight. All right, I really wrestled with nothing in here actually connects, but I want you to hear this last point. Servers become leaders simply by serving. There is a rush in our church world today to have a mantle of title and a place of privilege, of position where I have arrived. I talked to Dr. Tim about this the other day, especially in regards to our Bible school students. And I'm grateful the Lord has been moving amongst young men and young ladies. And even this year, I've seen some that are rising up and they are humble and they are hungry to serve and they have a heart that desires to see God's kingdom advance. But you and I both know there are those out there that they are striving for a position. It's like climbing the corporate ladder, and as fast as I can get to the top, then I know that I've arrived. But I talked to a pastor the other day. He said, "Brother Brian, I preached the biggest meetings in our movement. I've been everywhere." He said, "I'm not bragging, I'm just talking." He said, "I have preached every single benchmark on my list of things as a young man that I wanted to do. I've done them all. And what I found was that I was never lonelier than when I got to where I thought I wanted to go at the top. But I found that there was no one there to support me. There were wounded relationships along the way." And he said, "When I got to where I thought I wanted to be, I realized I was extremely lonely." But it wasn't until he settled down into a church that he loved, and he said, "I'd rather preach here in this pulpit than any other camp meeting the rest of my life. I'm in the trenches with people that I love and that love me, and I'm not lonely anymore, and I found my calling." Why? Because he got to a place where he was not striving for a ladder position. He was striving to serve, and he found contentment in his heart. Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." This world screams, "Do what makes you happy." And I'm convinced that everything they offer up drains the happiness right out of people. Live a vacuous lifestyle, live a selfish life, buy more stuff, do more stuff, have your blog, have your channel, have your vlog, make sure Twitter and TikTok, and do everything you can to get eyes on you. But Jesus said, "If you'll just serve, you'll be happy." There is something about giving that brings about a fulfillment in our lives. Recently, when our niece and nephew, were killed in Haiti, I was reminded again, and I've seen it here at the church over and over again, but I was reminded of it in the kingdom of God corporately, of just how good God's people are. How they step up time and again when everything crashes around you. There were people that I had not met that came up and hugged us. "I'm praying for you." There were people that baked meals, cooked meals. There was so much food, it looked like a Golden Corral at one point. I said, "We got to stop this." They're just overflowing with "We want to help." I was reminded of how good our people are. Many came, called, sent Marco Polo messages, text messages, cards. You just stepped up. You knew we were hurting, and you rallied around us again like you've done so many times before. Sister Rachel and Brother Mark did a tremendous blessing, and they would not want this to be shared probably. Rachel's squirming right now because she doesn't like the attention at all. When they found out what happened, she used her giftings and blessed the family with t-shirts in honor of Davy and Natalie. And family members openly wept when they got that from a gift of somebody in the kingdom they didn't know, but just because they cared. There will always be a place for you to serve. If you ever get to the point in life where life becomes about you, I promise you, friend, you are going to live a miserable existence. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He's still serving us. He still comes by and ministers. He still lifts up and picks up and encourages. He still helps us daily. And so it reminds me that this life is not my own, and what a terrible waste it would be if we just served ourselves. There's a reason you've been saved, and it's not just to fill a pew. Don't hesitate to take the towel. Serve one another. How shall they know if you're my disciples, if you have love one for another? I really believe that one of the surest signs of us falling away from our relationship with Christ is we begin to be critical instead of complimentary. A critical spirit will rob us of any blessing from the Lord because we cannot see how God is moving. I'm not saying that bad times don't ever come. Y'all know that ain't true. But I have watched as even in some of the worst situations, the people of God have worshiped through their warfare. Amen. They've worshiped in the battle. They've stuck with it. They've been there. And Christ gave us the example. Just serve one another. Don't criticize. Don't complain. Don't bash. Just love one another. Give the benefit of the doubt. Look for a way to help. Look for a way to serve. Look for a way to give back. Look for something that you and I can do to be a part of the kingdom, because we are together what we can never be apart. I thank you, Pastor, for that quote to live by. I want us to stand this evening, and we're going to close. I assure you, this is not how I thought this sermon was going to go in my head. So I hope that you will you'll forgive me for the slower response speed tonight and all of that. I am so grateful for this church. And I want to talk to our young people one last time as we come to the altar. Live your life for something more than yourself. Selfish people die lonely. But I've seen people that don't have hardly two dimes to rub together. Sister Rebecca, they are met at the end with love and admiration. Live for the Lord and serve others, and you will have a rich life. Church, if ever we have needed to love one another, it's right now. Amen. It's right now. Amen. Look around at this room and recognize that this group of people loves each other, and we need one another. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to come tonight and stand, not kneel. I want us to stand, and I want us to find one person. Or two. You got two arms. You can do whatever you want. But find somebody. Put your arm around them if it's appropriate. And pray for that person. Pray that the Lord would encourage us. Help us. Strengthen us. Pray that the Lord would give us opportunity. We got Camp Dove in a little over a week. And man, there's going to be work to do. Right? We're going to have to load some stuff here in a couple days. Brother Kevin, we're going to have to get out there and shake hands of people we don't even know, unclog toilets of things. We're going to have to get toys off of buildings. I mean, there's going to be all sorts of stuff. But if there's a need, we have a great opportunity to meet that need. Let's love each other tonight. Let's find a place to pray and encourage one another that the Lord will help us as we make it to heaven. All across the house, let's find a place to pray. Remember, afterwards, we've got our meeting together, another opportunity to show love. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for one another all across the house. Hallelujah.